thank you. Okay, so I'm just going to start off by saying that I am absolutely terrified of public speaking and that it's really hard to read fluently when you can fit like basically one word on the page at a time. So I was always your average child, just with a few extra bruises and cuts from running into random objects that appeared out of nowhere. No one knew I had a vision impairment until I was in kindergarten, so preschool was kind of a bit frustrating, so it was like the start of kindergarten, because everyone thought I was either like really weird or just a really naughty child. We used to have at preschool like a colouring and craft station during the day. I would never do the colouring section because, well, I didn't understand how anyone could colour inside the lines. And the craft section didn't go the way that the teachers really wanted me to either. Usually it'd end up with me starting my own hairdressing business. So basically, sorry, I got the wrong document up. When I went into kindergarten, it was really hard because, nobody knew. And when we would do like writing task or any spelling, I was terrible at spelling, and I'd get myself so worked up if we had to play like any like games with spelling in it, or like reading. And like when we had to copy off the board, I had to walk up to the board, basically like smell it to be able to read it, and then go and sit down, like remember a line, go and sit down, and then keep repeating that. But during doing that, basically the whole class would get really angry at me, like, sit down, move your head out of the way, until it got to a point where the teacher was just like, well, I need to ring your parents, like there's something wrong. So they did, and my parents got me an appointment with the ophthalmologist, but like any good specialist, it took forever to get in. So in the meantime, they took me to the optometrist and they said, oh yeah, like you need glasses. So I got my glasses, they let me pick out a pretty pink colour, and I went to school thinking, oh yeah, this will be cool, like I'll be able to see now, and nothing changed. So I still had to get up to the board, I still had to get in everyone's way. So then I just stopped wearing my glasses because I didn't want to look weird with glasses, because that's what I thought when I was six. I thought they were just for old people. And then the teachers were like, well, now you're just being naughty because you have your glasses, you can see, just sit down, do your work. So I did, I sat down, put my glasses back on, and I just sat there because I couldn't do any of my work until I got to go to the ophthalmologist, and then everything kind of changed. The doctors rushed me into the kids' hospital, the eye hospital, because they thought I had tumours on the back of my eye. So they did all the normal, like, boring tests that feel like it goes on for a whole lifetime and drains you to the ends of whatever, your energy. And it turns out, like, it was just a bunch of cysts. And then they told my parents that I had a vision condition, cone rod dystrophy. And then basically from that moment on, like, my life changed. They got straight onto the school. The school started to put in all these support networks. So when I transitioned into year one, I started with a laptop, I started learning Braille, I had all this mobility testing done. I had a teacher in the classroom with me, like 24/7 basically. But then I was kind of their first student to have a vision impairment, so they didn't really know what they were doing. So they just threw all this stuff at me and kind of like overwhelmed me. They kind of like put me in bubble wrap then, because she's like, oh, she has a vision impairment, or she's disabled, she has to be bubble wrap. People started treating me differently. It was basically like, you have a disability, like you're also intellectual, and it's not like I can talk to people. Like if I went somewhere and someone would be with me, they would ask the question to them, like say my parent, and I'd be like, well, I can answer for them, like it's about me. But yeah, so I remember in year one, the school was really scared of me going out at recess and lunch to play in the playground. So there was like this little fenced off area that used to be like for the bell tower, and it was like this little triangle. And to bribe me to go in there, because I didn't want to, I was a very sporty kid, I liked being out and playing with everyone, they gave me like equipment like croquet and bocce and stuff. So then I went in there with my friends, and then all the other kids in year one started to get jealous. So then they wanted to play with my equipment. So they complained to the teachers, and the teachers started to make a roster of who could play with me. Yeah. And so then I would only get to play with my friends on Fridays, and I got really upset, and I'd basically just be sitting in the corner because, you know, they would always be playing with the equipment. So then, like, we had a big meeting with the school to try and, like, figure out what was kind of too much, like, compressing me. Like, but it kind of happened through the whole of primary school because they didn't know what they were doing. I was new to knowing about my vision impairment. My parents didn't know. So basically, a lot of it was trial and error. Like, 1 week I would be doing learning Braille, the next week I'd be learning JAWS, and it'd just kind of be switching, which was good because I started getting skills up in both areas, but I was kind of like basic in both. I never developed so I could be independent in either of them, which moving into high school became a really big problem because I was still relying on my aide to like help me write all my assessments or do all my assessments or my schoolwork. I wasn't independent enough to finish my work by myself. So basically, my suggestion is stick to one thing for a while or find out what works for you, because otherwise you're just going to be chopping and changing, and like you won't become independent. So when I got diagnosed, my parents wanted me to experience things because the doctors had said, oh, like she could lose her vision overnight or she could have the same vision for the rest of her life. We don't know. So they worked closely with my sport teacher in primary school because he had taught at a blind school before. And they threw me into every sport possible because at the time the teachers were like, oh, you can't do sport, like it's too dangerous for you. But my sport teacher was like, no, like I'm gonna like teach you to do everything. So after that, like I made basically every single sporting team in primary school that I could. Like I went to nationals for athletics, swimming, cross country. I went to state for like cricket. I don't even know how I made that team, but cricket, AFL, I can't even remember. And I did, he taught me how to ski. We went to the snow and taught me how to ski. Taught me how to do gymnastics, which was so scary, like running and jumping onto this little square, like that was really scary. He also taught me how to ride a motorbike, which was probably the most dangerous. So yeah, I don't ever think that because you have a vision impairment you can't do something. There's literally always a way. Like even if you wanted to ride a motorbike, you can go on the, I sat to learn, I sat on the front holding the steering wheel, he sat behind, and you know, like you, they can steer, you can change the gears or whatever. Like there's always a way to experience something, which is really important. And for me, where I found my confidence with my vision was through sport. So I suggest finding something that you love and then creating a support network around that so you can do it. So basically I was doing all these sports, and by the end of primary school, when I was moving into high school, I was starting to get really good at swimming. So I kind of had to drop off on all my sports. And by the time I was in year 8, I think I was doing 11 sessions a week, which made it really hard to spend time with friends. So made it really hard to spend time with friends, which I think is really important, especially for someone with a vision impairment, because it's really hard to interact with people if you don't know them. I find it really difficult to go up to random people, like if we're in a room together, go up to them and start a conversation. It makes me really nervous. If they talk to me first, then fine, I'm completely fine. But I find it really hard to go up to them first because I can't see their body language and how they're reacting to me going up to them. Like, I know for some people, like, they don't like random people talking to them. Yeah, so that makes it really hard for me. So moving into my swimming, basically, that's where I found, like, my niche of friends. And they really understood, like, my training and my vision. Because even though, like, because I raced in para, even though not all of them were vision impaired, they all had different disabilities, they understood the struggles of, like, going through school or social aspects, which I found really, like, really good for me. Especially because when I went back to school, like, they didn't get that. And it forced me to grow up a lot faster than a lot of people my age, because I would go back to school and they'd be kind of so naive about the outside world, I guess, and like how people perceive you. So moving into high school, my parents really wanted me to start using my cane, which I hated because I hated being different and I hated doing Braille. But it was really important to, I understand now, it was really important to have those skills, because going onto public transport, like, by yourself is really difficult if you don't know how to use a cane. So something that really helped me was getting the guide dog support with mobility training. So what happened was, when I started growing up and I wanted to be independent going places by myself, my parents looked into it, and so they got guide dogs to take me to train stations, showed me around train stations, and then take me through routes that I wanted to go. So if I wanted to go shopping, they'd take me to the train station that I'd get on at, they'd take me through the route, they'd take me to the train station I'd get off at, and then how to get there. And then when I wanted to go to TAFE, they showed me that and the bus route. And then they give you little tips on, like, how to get on and off the transport, because, you know, like, on a train there's a big gap, and they teach you, like, those little tricks, which really helped. Like, I can get to TAFE now by myself, which saves time for my parents to go to work or do things that they want to do, because for a parent it takes up a lot of time having a vision impaired child if they aren't independent. And I think going on the points that they were saying before, like, before me, it's a lot of people like around you that hold you back, because I never thought that I'd be able to be independent or get places by myself until recently, because everyone was always like, oh, you need to be, like, you need someone to take you there, or someone always had to be with me. And then recently, like, when people have been busy because, you know, other people have lives, they don't have to look after me the whole time, and I had to try and find my own way. Like, my parents were scared at first, of course, but honestly, it, like, was completely fine. Like, if you don't know what bus you're getting, get on the bus, ask the bus driver, they're more than happy to tell you, like, what's happened. Like, people are nice, most people. And plus, if they're not, then you have your cane, so you can just, like... That's one thing, like, that I always thought about, like... If I was on the train and, like, someone tried to, like, hurt me or something, I'm like, oh, I've got my cane, I'm fine. But swimming for me was definitely something that gave me a lot of confidence, because I wasn't a confident person. And then once I started finding my confidence, my personality started to come out. I was happier. I'm a positive person. So when I first got diagnosed, obviously I had, like, I got angry and I got upset, like, why was this happening to me? But that faded away pretty quickly because I had something that I could let it out in. And then, like, from there, like, basically all these blind jokes started. So just make fun of myself the whole time, which is fine. But if you find something that you are really passionate about or you really enjoy doing, I feel like you can open up. And going through school is scary, but it's really doable. Like, I wasn't your brightest child, but I wasn't like dumb either. Like, I would get A's and B's or whatever. So I just think having the right support people really helped. Just trying to find where I'm up to. Yeah, so I think it's really important not to doubt your child if they say they want to do something. Try and support them the best way you can. Like, obviously, if you're a parent, you're going to be nervous for them. Like, yeah, they might get hurt, but every child is going to get hurt doing something. Like, someone who's fully sighted, they might go play footy, they're going to get hurt. So it's just getting hurt in different ways, and it's about that's like about growing up, basically. Like, bubble wrapping your child isn't gonna help them. They need to be independent, and then that allows them to feel like they can fit in, because that was a big thing for me. Like, I didn't want to use my cane because, like, I didn't fit in, or I didn't want to use my CCTV because it took up the whole screen, the whole desk, and everyone could see it because it was huge. But having that technology allowed me to engage in the classroom. So once I got over the big screen, and like everyone in the classroom was fine about it, it was just in my head. But once I got over that, it literally allowed me to be more engaged in the class. I learned so much better, and it also stopped me from having that aide next to me, which is good. Like, have an aide, but not 24/7. You need to learn how to do your work by yourself, and that's something I cannot stress enough. Like, becoming independent in your schoolwork will help you outside. So, I left school after year 10 because my swimming like took over, and I was away a lot. So, doing year 11 and 12 would have been like very stressful. Like, doing my work already was took me twice as long as the other kids. And then being away on top of that would have, I wouldn't have been able to keep up. But I wanted to do massage, so I went to TAFE. And I didn't have a person in the classroom 24/7 with me. And that was really scary at first. But I quickly learned how to do things, and it was so much easier. It's so much easier not having to rely on other people. So, trying to get your child as independent as possible from a young age, teaching them, like, you don't have to make it like push them out the door, like, see you later. Like, just implement little things, like, I don't know, when they're transitioning into high school, like, let them do the guide dog training through public transport. So when they want to go out with their friends, they can, and you don't have to be with them because that's embarrassing having your parent with you. That's not cool. Yeah. So, does anyone have any questions? So. Oh, no. I was with my friends since year one, and they were really good. That was basically the only way I got out of it, because guide dogs came into my school, or RIDBC even, I think it was, came into my school, and they taught a bunch of my friends how to sighted guide me and people in my classroom, because sometimes I wasn't always in class with a friend. So that's how I kind of got out of it. But by the first year, like, you don't really, like, I didn't need it because I knew my way around the school. And the high school was really good. They put most of my classes in the one room, so the teachers had to come to us. So I didn't have to move. Yeah. So, because I didn't find out about my vision impairment until like I was a bit older, my parents didn't know about any like kind of support networks. We only knew about Vision Australia, which we had, but we didn't know the extent of what they could do, and we didn't know about RIDBC until I was in year nine, and those things really helped. So I only started getting like mobility training when I was turning 16. So when I was in year 10, at the end of year 10, thinking about going to TAFE. Yeah, so I would suggest definitely starting that a lot earlier because I missed out on going, like, because I was training a lot and then my parents had to work between my sessions that I was, I missed out on going out with my friends a lot. So if you implement that earlier, I would. Yes.
Well,
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Like I hate using it. Like now I'll use it like at swimming meets because like people leave their bags everywhere or whatever. I'll use it at night or I'll use it if I'm by myself or with someone I don't trust. Like it's just yeah. Yeah. If I know they're gonna walk me into the wall, I'm using my cane. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, so if I was a parent, I'd definitely start looking into option like as they all said before, like find out like about RIDBC guide dogs, Vision Australia, like they're all super supportive around certain areas and exactly like it start yeah started as young as possible because I know like yeah so I think I've more started to accept it now because I am by myself more and more and I just feel more comfortable and it's not even about like I can walk around I can like walk around by myself it's more about other people in the environment knowing that I can't see them coming or if I'm crossing the road. Yeah, so it's more for me, anyways, because like I can see big objects, it's more like the detail I can't see. So when I use it, it's more for people. Yeah, exactly. Especially because I look like I don't look like I have a vision impairment. So many people do not believe me, like it's not funny. And then like I pull up a picture with my cane and they're like, oh, sorry, like we're just joking. Yeah. I didn't go to any so I didn't go to any vision camps because we didn't know about them so this is why this is really cool because I never even knew about any of this stuff and like I find it so important for parents now like get your child into vision camps get them to make friends with other people who are vision impaired because now that I have vision impaired friends through my swimming, we can kind of talk to each other about different issues and we solve them together. So I find having other vision impaired friends is really fun, like, is really much better.
One more question.
How do you...